Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Hello again. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit, talking sprint car racing, our favorite time of the week, and we are so glad that you have joined us. Steve Post here in our Concord, North Carolina studios from our Mifflintown, Pennsylvania studios at Lethal Chassis. Ashley Strumme, my co-host. Hello, Ashley. How are you?
Steve, I talked about her last week, and she is back with a wrath. Mother Nature has not played nice for Pennsylvania Speed Week, unfortunately.
And the stories have been spectacular when we've raced. Macri and Marks are putting on a clinic on how to race, except for Thursday night when Freddie Raymer just destroyed everybody. But those two, I mean, it has been so good, and then it's been so bad with the weather. So I agree with you. Really, really crazy. So, Ashley, silly season this year has been bonkers, and we're not even at the silly season time of year. A lot of it's gone around Buddy Kofoid, and he's landed in the Roth car, which, when the music stops, find a seat. Okay, Corey Eliason goes to the Crouch 11. Kerry Madsen goes to the 55. Okay, where I'm going with this is our old buddy Shane Stewart calls up Bernie, who's sitting there with an empty number 71 car, and says, I'd like to run for $1 million. And Bernie says yes. And Ashley, they decide to go for a tune-up, and I'll be darned if he didn't win the race.
You know, there is something about Bernie and Shane that it don't care if it's 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that pairing will always be good. Obviously, Shane, the Power I-410 Bandit Series at Lake Ozark, he picked up the win. Like I said, that pairing will never get old.
And they have got a shot next week at that $1 million. That's the thing that's fun. That's the things for fun. Hey, a programming note. Shane Stewart joined Justin Fiedler and I this week earlier on our Wing Nation digital program. You can find that wherever podcasts are to talk more about his big win with Bernie. Speaking of big wins, about 10 days ago, Justin Sanders cashed in for $82,000 at the Dirt Cup at Skagit. And that's who we're going to talk to. Justin Sanders, he joins us on the Sage Fruit Hotline next. The Outlaws are headed back to the Pacific Northwest. Join us for 3 action-packed nights of racing August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd at Skagit Speedway when the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars return for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. Kickoff for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals begins Wednesday, August 30th with a pre-race party, live band, Sage Fruit Apple giveaways, and more. Then catch Johnny Schatz and the rest of the World of Outlaws as they take on Washington's best sprint car drivers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Details at SkagitSpeedway.com. Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit, and we are going to the Sage Fruit Hotline. Joining us from the great state of California, fresh off from that big win up at Skagit in Washington, is Justin Sanders. Hello, Justin. Welcome back to Wing Nation.
How's it going, guys? Happy to be here, and thanks for having me on.
We love it. We absolutely love it. About 10 days ago or so, you won $82,000 at Skagit, the King of the West Series, the Dirt Cup. Has it sunk in? What has it meant as a little bit of a hindsight? Where are you at with that big win?
Wow, I can't believe you already said it's been 10 days. It feels like it was yesterday, but no, it was good. I mean, it's, I don't know if I've ever had a kind of a feeling like that in my life yet. I mean, it was, it's something that's kind of undescribable, I guess. It's, you know, kind of something that I thought wouldn't have happened. And it's kind of like a, I guess what I can say is kind of a breakthrough. It's like a, you know, I've won a lot of local races and won a lot of decent races, but, you know, not like a crown jewel or something big. So being able to actually pull something like that off, it's like a, like I was telling a couple of my, you know, friends and sponsors, it's almost like a, I feel like it unlocked another door, if that makes sense. Like it just like a mental block, you know, maybe if there's a mental block or something, I feel like it unlocked it. Because now, you know, I go more into these races just I feel like now I can go in with more confidence.
You leveled up, that is for sure. With that being said, obviously looking back on it now, but in the moment, obviously flag to flag for $82,000, when those last five laps were dwindling down, obviously it's about hitting your marks, but is there like an internal voice that kind of talks to you that says, stay calm, don't screw up? What is going through your mind at that moment?
So it's funny you say that, because I got impatient about 15 to go and hit the wall off of four, or off of two, actually, when I was lapping a couple cars. And I knew something broke. I hit it. I could feel it. As soon as I went in the next corner, the car acted way different. It laid over. And I was like, oh, man, I hope I don't have a flat tire. And so I kind of had to, like, gather myself back for about two laps. I kind of, you know, tried to run the same line and it wasn't working out. So I had to, you know, move around, move down and kind of enter the corners different. Finally figured it out. But yeah, it's like knowing that you've done something to your car that's kind of hurt it, and trying to maneuver lap traffic and knowing that you got some really good guys behind you. Yeah, it's pressure, and it's you just got to stay focused. And yeah, like you said, try to hit your marks. And I knew we were getting towards the end for probably the last three laps, and I come off of four and I kind of look up down the front straightaway looking for a flag, and I didn't see it. And then I was coming up to another lap car, and I'm like, okay, I know I'm gonna have to deal with this. And right as I got to this bumper coming down the front straightaway, I seen the white flag come up, and I'm like, all right, I got to get through one and two. Almost spun out. I got sideways. I got in tight behind the lap car, spun, got sideways. And then, but I still had a good enough run. I was like, okay, I got to hit this last mark. And I went to the bottom and kind of did the slide job on him. And I was like, all right, if I clear this, it should be over, and was able to clear it and get the win. But yeah, no, it's definitely a different focus when you're only got a couple laps to go and you're trying to get a win like that. You know, there's big money on the line, and you know, it's weird because you're kind of racing and you're clicking off these laps. Like, man, I'm still making money as I'm clicking off laps. And you know, that's funny. That kind of goes off in your psyche too. But it's like, okay, you got to gather back in, and you know, there's still a real job to be done.
Okay, you were impressive for the 40 laps. Okay, that's all well and fine, but your burnout or your donuts on the cool down, and not the one on the four wheeler, whoever you or one of your crew guys or whatever did on the tip the four wheel over with the sprint car. How does a driver practice that?
I mean, I've done some before, but I don't think you can really practice it. I think it's just kind of a thing where you do in the moment, you get it sideways and you're kind of using the power of the motor and just to make the wheels turn, and you kind of just get it going at a certain speed, and you can kind of just gas it harder if you want to go faster. And there's the point to where I kind of had the front wheel starting to come up, and I was like, man, I better stop before I flip this. And then I stopped, and my car owner was actually talking about the donuts. He's like, man, that was awesome. I was like, yeah, I stopped because I felt like I was going to turn over. He's like, man, you should have turned it over. He's like, I would have turned it over if that was me. And but anyways, it was kind of like, I still don't think they were the best I've seen. You know, if you go back to Tim Cady's classic donuts, I think those are still the best. I mean, those are some pretty impressive donuts. I don't think I've ever seen anything that good.
All right, so Cali Dirt, I believe it was, put a YouTube video out of kind of in-car camera, if you will. I didn't get to watch it all, but the part where it jumped out, did your car jump out of gear at some point? Give us a little synopsis of the video so people can go check out the YouTube video.
Yeah, so that's a funny story. So, you know, when you kind of think of the way things happen sometimes, I guess, when you play it like a story, okay, we'll start there. The kid that helps me, he's from Washington, he's from Bellingham. He's been around Skagit all his life. This is something that meant more to him than anything. And then you got, you know, Mark Houston from Shark. He's from Washington. He's built motors up there, you know, all his life. You got me that's never won a big race. We're in position to do it. So we go off for the pole shuffle hot laps. And I take the green, come out of two, go down the back straightaway, I'm wide open. I go on to three, I'm buried throttle, and the car jumps out of gear. And no rhyme or reason, we don't know why. I get it back into gear, and I finish hot lapping. I'm quick time still in hot laps after all that. Like the car, you know, we had a really good car all weekend. Well, I come in, I look at my tack, it says 9,900 on my tack. So it's spun really hard. So I'm in the last pole shuffle. The second I take off, I go down the front straightaway, bam, motor expires right there. So I lose the pole shuffle, motor expires. We had one motor left that I never ran. It's in the cabinet. We had our one motor upstairs in the spare car. The one motor we just pulled out was timed out, and it was at Sharks as he was going to ship it out for us. And then the other motor we had was in Max Mitri's car at the shop. So we had one motor there that I had never ran. We didn't know anything really about fueling. You know, a good thing it was set up. So we had to rush, hurry up, put the motor in, and, you know, it was Shark's motor. And it was what, a new 410 that he's built, and Max ran it, I think, three times. And then, so we put it in, you know, I'm trying to make sure everything's right before the main. Go out, you know, lead all 40 laps. I get my big win. Shark gets the win for his engine. And, you know, the kid Hunter that's working for me, like I said, he's grown up around Skagit all his life. To get a win like this, it was kind of a, you know, it's kind of a storybook kind of a deal.
I knew there was an engine change. And then as I was researching it, I hadn't put it together with Mark up there. And I spent some time with Mark. I did a salmon bake with him. What a great guy. What a great story, that's for sure. And such a dramatic part to the story with the engine change and all of the challenges as far as that goes. Justin, hang in there with us. Everyone else, stick around. Go ahead. Yeah.
I got to add one thing before I forget. So, yeah, so in the main again, we're going four wide. Yep. And as we split out of four wide, it's that motor jumps out of gear. And so what I did, I had to slam that back into gear. And for, I don't know what's going on. I put a car in gear 1,000 times or 5,000 times. And, you know, it starts running through your head. Well, did I not lock it in gear or what? You know, what's going on? But after that second time, it's like, okay, I know I locked it in gear. So for about the first four laps, I come off of both corners and I just kind of take my hand and press down on the shifter a little bit and use one hand to drive. So I don't know. That was a mystery in itself. We still don't know why. We got the rear end out, got the shifter out, got everything ripped apart. So we don't know. I don't know yet, but okay, we can go.
Oh my God, that even adds depth to it. That's crazy. That really truly is.
Yeah.
Hey, hang in there, Justin. Everyone else, hang in there. More with Justin Sanders in just a moment. The Outlaws are headed back to the Pacific Northwest. Join us for three action-packed nights of racing August 31st, September 1st and 2nd at Skagit Speedway when the world of outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars return for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. Kickoff for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals begins Wednesday, August 30th with a pre-race party, live band, Sage Fruit Apple giveaways, and more. Then catch Johnny Schatz and the rest of the world of outlaws as they take on Washington's best sprint car drivers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Details at SkagitSpeedway.com. Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. We are having a ball. We're talking with Justin Sanders. And, of course, we just broke down just a mind-boggling story of the way that you won out there at Skagit with that race. I want to talk some more racing, but one of the things we do on Wing Nation, we'd love to go off the racetrack, okay? December 11th of last year, you proposed to Brooke, your fiance.
I had to think about that for a minute, but then it clicked.
Well, I'm glad it clicked with you. I'm glad it clicked with you here. Okay, how did you do it? What was this grand scheme? How did that all go?
You know, I had the ring for a while. I ordered it and had it made, and I kind of just woke up one day and I was like, all right, this feels like the day to me. I don't know. I'm a random person. I just kind of woke up. So we went to Monterey. We got a, you know, favorite brunch spot that we go to. Actually, it's in Carmel. So we're really close to like Carmel by the Sea and Big Sur and all that. So it's really, you know, really nice over there. And I know where she likes to be, and I know, you know, kind of the beaches and stuff. So I don't know. I just kind of drove around and picked a spot, and that's kind of how it went. I'm kind of a, you know, fly by the moment, spontaneous, I guess, kind of guy. So just found a spot. I was like, you know, kind of walked around, kind of drove around. I was like, this is where it's going to happen. So just kind of led to it and kind of did that. But yeah, I was like, I kind of wanted, because we went to Australia, we left on the 20th, and I was like, man, I really want to do this before we leave, but I want to do it when it's the right time, when I'm feeling like it's the right time. So it just, that was the right time. And I didn't even think of the date. It had nothing to do with the date or anything like that. It just woke up one morning and it's like, well, we're doing it today.
Love it.
But yeah, no, it's been good. I mean, we've been together for a long time. I think, we're coming up on 10 years in September. So we've been together for a long time, since I've been 20, you know, 21 years old or something like that. So it's been a long time.
How are wedding plans progressing? Here at Wing Nation, we've helped a lot of guys get married over the last few years. They call us when they need stamps, invitation help. How are things going so far?
We're not really to that stage yet. We're just kind of, you know, we're going to take in the, I guess, engagement stage for a while. We're not really super worried about rushing or getting anything done right now. So no, I think we're just going to stay here until we get, you know, we want to get our finances right. You're trying to get finances right and get in that step first before we try to jump into anything. You know, we're trying to, you know, maybe soon buy a house or something like that. We're trying to still figure out exactly where and all that stuff. So we're, you know, I think she knows that it's going to be solid. So it's not a huge deal to jump into a wedding. So we're just going to kind of take it slow and kind of see where it takes.
Just wake up one morning and say, today's the day. That's what you do right there. That's whatever girl.
Yeah. Wants. I mean, we talked about having a small wedding anyway, so you never know. I might just, it's not going to happen like that.
Yeah.
We'll figure out something. We got to, you know, there's a lot of nice venues and stuff around here. Yeah. You know, we kind of talked about like a destination wedding or something like that too. So I don't know. It's, you know, we'll probably have to do it on the off season too, because I don't want to miss the places. But
I've failed at every relationship I've ever had with a woman, but I don't think spur of the moment weddings are a good plan. So I think I know that much. That's for sure. Now, the other thing about Brooke, she actually owns a company called Top Stitch. She's actually involved. She designs a lot of your apparel, but am I right? She designs a lot of apparel for some other teams. So she's kind of somewhat involved in the sport.
Yeah, she does a lot of the work side of it. Like I said, I'm doing vinyl here right now. Yeah. And I do a lot of the design work and a lot of the layouts. And then she does all the stitching part of it. So like I'll kind of lay it out, size it, you know, maybe design it or edit it if it needs to be done. And then she'll do the the stitch part. Like she's over there working right now, doing some shirts right now. And then like I'm doing some, I actually got a couple race car wing wraps and some stuff I'm doing here. And I do a lot of random like truck signage and vans, stuff like that. You know, where the real money's not on the race cars. But we kind of do it together. Her shop's about a quarter mile down the road from me, and we work together. I mean, it's a walking distance for me to go walk down there and do something. So, it's good. We're just plugging along.
I love it. That is awesome. All right. So when you're away from the racetrack off season, what is it the two of you love to do? Is there anything that you guys like try to hit every single month? Obviously good eat spots, but something that both of you enjoy together.
You know, it's been hard. I kind of forgot all this stuff lately because, man, I've been racing so much. Like last off season, we went, you know, straight, like I raced up until like November 10th or 25th. Actually, I forgot. I ran on Turkey night. And then, I ran somewhere else, I think. But anyways, and then we, as soon as December 20th hit, flew to Australia, raced, you know, until February 1st, came back, had to start working on stuff and then started racing right in the first of March. So we didn't get much of an off season, but you know, we like movies and bowling and, you know, just going to random places and, you know, Vegas, Disneyland, stuff like that. It's all good fun. But we don't get to do it. Like, we're not like a, I wouldn't say huge trip people. We take it, you know, here and there, maybe once a year, you know, once every whatever. But yeah, it's got a super, you know, grind packed, tough race schedule. And I've been thinking about it a little more, trying to fit in a little more fun things to do because it's you know, sometimes it can wear on you.
You also, we've talked about California, a little bit of California racing up in Skagit, of course, and that sort of thing. You picked up the ride with Kevin Swindell last year, went to Knoxville, locked into the A-Main at Knoxville, and then have had good runs. You finished second at the High Limits race at Wayne County. What has it meant to you as a race car driver to kind of get out of California and kind of experience some of the other parts of the country?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I got to race at a lot of cool tracks that I didn't think I'd get to race at. No, teaming up with Kevin's been great. I really like working with those guys, and you know, Kevin's really nice and really cool, and he's really supportive, you know, especially like the driving side and the, you know, giving tips or, you know, just good motivation, and you know, he's really good with the car. So yeah, like it, Wayne County was awesome. I mean, you know, if I didn't have a superhuman I was racing against, he probably could have get that job done. But it's been awesome. Looking forward to going back. And like I said, I think we're going to probably go back to Kokomo, I would imagine. And then, you know, probably do the Knoxville swing again. Hopefully I can top what I did last year and make the Nationals when I thought I'd never be able to do that. But, you know, I guess I'm starting to unlock some doors that maybe I didn't think were possible. So, you know, who never know, the sky's the limit. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on.
And with that, we're going to have to wrap it up here on the interview. Justin, we appreciate your time so much. Love following your journey, your successes, and these doors getting unlocked, I think, are really, really cool. We wish you the best as you roll through the second half of this season.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There we go. Justin Sanders joining us from the great state of California. Stay with us. More Wing Nation in just a moment. the Outlaws are headed back to the Pacific Northwest. Join us for three action-packed nights of racing August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd at Skagit Speedway when the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars return for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals. Kickoff for the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals begins Wednesday, August 30th with a pre-race party, live band, Sage Fruit Apple giveaways, and more. Then catch Johnny Schatz and the rest of the World of Outlaws as they take on Washington's best sprint car drivers Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Details at SkagitSpeedway.com. Welcome back. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Ashley Strummy and Steve Post here. And boy, I could talk to Justin Sanders all day long, Ashley. Really good stuff.
Absolutely. We chatted with the guy at Knoxville last year once he got locked in, and I'll never forget. He's like, what do I have to talk about? Who am I? So just a good dude. He's great storyteller as well.
Yeah, great storyteller. And he gave one of our producers, Jack, great eating ideas out there. Jack's headed out there on some business, and I got awful hungry listening to some of those places that Justin was talking about, that's for sure. It was a big weekend for the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars this past weekend. Their annual 4th of July weekend up at Cedar Lake. Ashley, when we got down to feature time and checkered flag time, a couple familiar faces won those two races.
Yeah, you know, I know we joked about it all season, kind of, where's Brad Sweet, you know, but he's been consistent, but he is hitting his stride and just at the right time. Seventh Cedar Lake win, he's now tied with Sammy Swindell for the most at one track. His 85th career World of Outlaw win, putting him 10th on the all-time list behind Darren Pittman.
Yes, that is really good company to be in, that is for sure. Okay, so you mentioned Brad Sweet, a 7-time winner. Prior to Saturday night, David Gravel, a 7-time bridesmaid at Cedar Lake. You imagine going to one place 7 times and coming up second? Well, he fixed that on Saturday night. Gravel got his 8th win of the season, 84th career. He is tied with Stevie Smith, closing in on Darren Pittman and Brad Sweet. Although Brad Sweet is, these two, it's nuts. Really, really good racing up at Cedar Lake, World of Outlaws. And boy, Gravel and Sweet and Carson Macedo, a couple other guys really putting on some shows, some good stuff. And it is time, Ashley. It is time for some big money on the line. Next week, the one that we've been talking about for months and months and months, the Eldora Million. But it starts, our buddy Brad Doty has a race coming up on Tuesday night.
Yes, it is the 35th annual Ohio Logistics Brad Doty Classic at Attica Raceway Park, kicking off a whole lot of money that week. And then obviously Wednesday, rolling into the Eldora Million prelims. I listened to an interview Kyle Larson did real quick, and it was cool to hear what he said, because obviously the late models have raced for a million last year. And he said what was really humbling for him is that everyone raced clean, because you know as well as I do, I'd wreck my mom for $1 million. So he's like, if we can race clean like that, it'll be a huge deal. So I think it's going to be an awesome unfolding.
Yeah, really is. Eldora Millions Thursday, the night before the Kings Royal, the 40th annual Kings Royal. They're only paying $175,000 on Saturday night for that one. So, you know, no need to stick around in town now. I mean, it's crazy what Tony Stewart and Jerry Gappens and everyone is doing there at Eldora. And Ashley, when we look at this thing, I think a month ago, I'm thinking Rico. Maybe Donnie Schatz, but then the final tune-up, Sam Hafertig rolls in there and wins the All-Star race. This thing is wide open. Last year, Brent Marks won both of the Kings Royal. I don't even know how to handicap this thing.
It's going to be interesting because we've talked about it for probably the last couple of years, right? Sprint car racing at the competition level is insane, and this race is truly anybody's.
It really, truly is. So it is going to be fascinating to watch. It really, truly is. Can't wait to see what happens all next week at that racetrack. Want to mention this one as well. Saturday night, the Lou Blaney, this coming Saturday night, before we get to that, the Lou Blaney Memorial, 10,000 to win at Sharon Speedway. What Dave Blaney is going on and Sharon is really, really neat. And All-Stars running for 10 grand on Saturday night. So fun, fun stuff. And it was fun stuff hanging out with Justin Sanders. We really appreciate Justin for joining us. But more important than all of that, thank you for joining us here this time on Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit.
Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at NAPA locations nationwide. NAPA!